Let's take our Bibles together, please, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. We'll continue to go verse by verse through this book of the Word of God. We just have a little over a chapter and a half left together. We'll complete this book of the Bible. We're in John chapter 20, verse 11. This is one of the most, dramatic stories in the Bible. And the depth of the meaning, I trust, will take hold of all of our hearts today. It's about Mary Magdalene. Would you look at John chapter 20 and verse 11? The Bible says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her." In the Bible, Mary Magdalene is a fascinating character. She's, of course, mentioned in verse 1 of this chapter. And a lot of verses are dedicated to this event after the resurrection of Christ. Let me give you a few facts about Mary Magdalene in the Bible. She is usually in every list, I think every list save one, Mary Magdalene is listed first when anybody's names are mentioned. She was the first woman in the list that's at the cross in Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel. She is first in the list that are at the sepulcher after the burial of Christ in Matthew and Mark's gospel. She is first in the list that come the Sunday morning to the tomb. That's in Matthew, Mark, and John's gospel. In Mark's gospel, she's also mentioned as the first human being that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. The first person in all the world that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection was Mary Magdalene. In Luke's gospel, she's the first in the list of women that were healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Also, later in Luke's gospel, she's first in the list of the people who spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have said before, I believe she's first in all of these texts, and also I believe she was the first one Jesus appeared to, because I think her love and dedication to Christ was greater than any other individual on the face of the earth, including his own disciples. Now, the society we live in takes anything that's pure and decent and good and twists it and makes it something perverted. And I think you understand that Hollywood and the world has made a perverted story out of Mary Magdalene and the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't understand what real love is about. The world thinks love is some kind of a physical act of fornication. That's not what love's about. So they can't understand how somebody could love Jesus so deeply and it be a pure love. That it couldn't be a physical love. And yet, you know, the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself is the second commandment. And those are not physical attributes, but our world has twisted what love is. Our world doesn't even know what love is. Their definition and their opinion of love has nothing to do with God's love in the Bible. So it is not surprising that a perverted world would twist the story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus and make it something sinful, because that's all they know. And that's all they know to do. And they, when they approach a holy Bible, they can't imagine that a woman could have such deep a love for the Lord Jesus Christ and it be something pure and something holy, because they don't know what love's about. But I do think that Mary Magdalene loved the Lord more than anybody, because she is at the tomb first. She's at the cross first. She makes several trips. Now, I'm not going to reconcile all the passages of the Gospels about these events at the sepulcher. There are many of them. There were more than one trip back and forth. Mary, this is her second trip, as we're reading of right here. In verse 1, she went to the sepulcher and saw that it was empty, and she ran back and told Peter and John, and they run to the tomb, and now she has followed them, and they have left, and she's still there. And we pick up the narrative, and I want you to notice what she's doing. The Bible says in verse 11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher." This dear lady had been weeping for 3 days about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that she loved so much. I'm sure she wept at the cross as they tortured his body. She has no doubt wept in the intervening days as he was put in the tomb. And she has raced to the tomb. He's not there. She races back to the tomb again after telling Peter and John, and she just stands there and weeps. What emotion is here? She has a great heart and love for God, and to the point that it runs out her eyes, she can't control her emotions. Can I ask you a question? What do you get emotional about? What touches your heart? What makes you cry? Now, all of us have events in our life. Maybe we've lost a loved one to death, and that's touched our heart. But what really stays in your heart? What is your heart on that just breaks it in pieces? What means so much to you? For Mary Magdalene, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's just crying there. She's just weeping. The angels come. How many times it's mentioned here? The angels say, "Why are you weeping?" Jesus, she doesn't know who he is first, but he says, "Why are you weeping?" I think the scene is just total emotion of this lady's heart. Now, you know what people get emotional about? They get emotional about their favorite quarterback getting hurt. They get emotional about their favorite team losing. They get emotional about their health. They get emotional about a family member or a problem in their life. Can I tell you, you know, all those things, of course we have emotions for our family, of course we have, but what we really ought to have a heart for, we ought to have a heart for Jesus. You know why? He's more important than my health. Jesus Christ is more important than even my family members. People get emotional, maybe shed a tear over losing a job. People shed tears over losing their animals. You know, how many tears have been shed in your life that had nothing to do with something that was eternal or connected to Jesus Christ? What breaks your heart? Does it break your heart when you're absent from the Lord? You see, Mary has enjoyed this fellowship with Jesus Christ for this stretch of years that she's been following. And now he's not there. And because his company has been separated from her, it breaks her heart. And she is weeping and crying. And I wonder, how long has it been since you've had fellowship with God? And does that break your heart? Does it break your heart when you've not talked to the Lord in a while? And he's not talked to you, and you've not had that closeness with him? Mary loved Jesus Christ with all of her heart, and she didn't just love him, she didn't just miss him, she was seeking him. Would you look at verse 15? What a strange statement. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She is frantically looking for the body of Jesus. Well, why would you be frantically looking for a dead body? Because she loved Jesus Christ so much, she wanted to find where his body was. Do you seek God that way? People seek raises. They seek success. They seek relationships with someone. They're looking for many things in life. But very rarely are people looking for Jesus in life. And Mary's love for Jesus Christ made her seek for him. She's looking at the tomb. She's looking at the sepulcher. She's looking in the garden. Where is he? Where have you laid him? And notice what she even says. She says to these that speak to her, she says to the angels, "They've taken away my Lord. I know not where they've laid him." Verse 13. And then in verse 15, she doesn't know this is Jesus. But she says, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him." She loved the Lord so much, she said, "Just tell me where his body is, and I'll take it away." Now look, I don't know how petite a woman Mary was, or how strong a woman she was. But I tell you what, for a woman to say, "Just tell me where his body is and I'll take it away," that's a big burden to carry. How is she going to do that? She doesn't care. She wants all the burden of Christ to be laid upon her because she loves him so much. She doesn't care how hard it is. She doesn't care how difficult it is. She doesn't care where his body is. She wants to find his body because she loves him with all of her heart. A dead body. I wonder, do we love the Lord enough to bear his burdens? Do we love the Lord enough for him to put on whatever he wants to put on us for his name's sake, for his glory's sake? She's seeking him. She's weeping at the tomb. She's seeking him. And the Bible tells us and shows us that through these tears, she's got a lot of love. Now, why do I say that she loved the Lord more than anybody else? Would you get Mark chapter 16? And with your other hand, Luke 7. I believe you can do it. I believe you can accomplish that. Mark 16 and Luke 7. Why is she tore up so much? I mean, Jesus' own mother's not at the tomb. You guys understand that? Why is she there? Why aren't the disciples still there? Why is it Mary? Why is she so consumed with a heart for Jesus Christ? I'll show it to you. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, the Bible says in verse number 9. Well, the Bible says in Mark 16, 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils." Do you see that? Mary's life before she met Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene's life, was a perfectly devil-possessed life. 7, that's the number of perfection in the Bible. She had literal 7 devils in her. The devil was in total control of her life. Look at Luke chapter 7. "And Jesus cast those devils out of her." And the Bible says in Luke chapter 7, here is a wicked woman here with Jesus and this Pharisee sitting at the table. And Jesus says in Luke 7 verse 41, "There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both." Now listen to Jesus. Jesus says, "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" That's the question today. Why did Mary Magdalene love him most? And how much do you love him today? Look at verse number 47. "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Watch it. "For she loved much." Why? "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." You know what? You know who loves the most? The person that loves the most is the one that has been forgiven the most. You know why Mary Magdalene was filled with love for the Lord Jesus Christ and she is at his tomb weeping and crying? Because she knows what he did for her. Her life was totally controlled by Satan. Her life was filled with seven devils. And Jesus Christ took the devils out of her, changed her life, gave her a new life. And the new life that he gave her was so much better than the old life that she had. And she looked back on her life and she just loved Christ. And she never left his side from that day forward. Could you say with the psalmist, I love the Lord because he hath heard my cry, the voice of my supplication. He's inclined unto me. Why do you love the Lord this morning? You know, this morning right here, whoever loves the Lord Jesus the most in here is the one that considers themselves as being the one that's been forgiven the most. Now, here's the truth. God had to have as much grace and forgiveness for Peter, James, and John as he did Mary Magdalene. And God, you know, if you were saved as a young person and if you were grew up in a Christian home and God saved you at 10 years old or whatever you got saved at, and you didn't get into all a life of sin, it took as much of the grace and mercy and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you, because we're all just wicked sinners. But here's the point. Some of us don't see ourselves as that. And you know what I've learned? When someone does so much for you, your heart just is joined to them. I've had some people that God's put in my life that have done so many, many things for me. It just made me feel indebted for the rest of my life. They did things they didn't have to do. They did things just out of compassion and mercy and just out of love for God they did for me. And my heart was overwhelmed because they'd done something for me and I didn't deserve it. There's to this day, a person that really God uses, my pastor in the ministry to this day. He's been in heaven many, many years. And to this day, I still send his widow. I give his widow, our family does. Every year we give her money, take care of her. Because I can't get out of my mind what her husband did for me through the years and how he pastored and helped me in my life. He made such an impression on my heart, helped my heart so much that I feel I got to do something. And even though he's gone, I'm going to help take care of his widow after she's gone. Now, let me ask you a question. How much has Jesus done for you? You know, I think some of us think he's not done so much. And the tears aren't there, and the love's not there, and the commitment's not there. But if you'll really realize how much Jesus Christ has forgiven you, see, that's the problem in our society. People don't think they're that bad. They don't think they have too long a list of sins. I tell you what, every one of us, hey, man, we've got a long list. As I-65 running all the way as far as it can go, filled with our sins. And if you're saved this morning, you've been forgiven. It's just as if God had cast out seven devils out of your life. If you were the most wretched sinner in the world, just like Saul, who became Paul, said he was the chief of sinners. God has done so much for you. There ought to be some love there. More than any other love you have. I see Mary weeping at the sepulcher because she loves Jesus. They turn to her, look at the angel. She sees these, verse 12, sees these two angels. And seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Look how she answers the angel. She still calls him my Lord. You don't call people my Lord when they're dead. And mind you, she doesn't know about the resurrection. She doesn't know yet that he's raised from the dead. She doesn't understand that truth. Just like the previous two disciples didn't understand it, as it said up there in the text. Verse 9. She didn't know. Why did she call him my Lord? You don't call somebody your Lord that's dead. But oh, the heart of Mary Magdalene. I don't care if he's alive or dead. He's my Lord. And I want to find his body. Now watch this, verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. Now look, I don't know about you, but if I looked in a tomb and I saw two angels, it'd probably get my attention. If I saw two angels, it'd probably be the greatest event in my life, right? Especially if I knew who they were. She walks in, and how weird is it for you to look in a tomb and there's an angel sitting at the head and an angel sitting at the foot, and they're both clothed in white raiment. And she sees that and she's crying, and he's, you know what? She doesn't care about the angel. She's looking for Jesus. She's not impressed with the angels. She's looking for Jesus. And when the angels talk to her, "Why weepest thou, woman?" "Because they've taken away the Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." And she turned around and walked out. You see the intensity of this woman. She is not overwhelmed. She is not impressed. She is not even moved by conversation with two angels. She doesn't care about that. Oh, what are you fascinated with? What are you enamored with? Are you enamored with technology? Are you enamored with your world? Are you enamored with some other relationship? I'm telling you that Mary Magdalene loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much, she didn't even pay any mind to two angels that were trying to talk to her. Oh, we live in a world, oh, you know, all these supernatural things and hocus pocus, and I saw two angels. Whoopee! I want to know where Jesus is. I don't want to talk to you guys. I want to talk to Jesus. I want to find God. She's not impressed. Wow. And then the Bible tells us in verse 14, when she turned herself back, look at verse 14, she saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. I want to talk to you just for a minute about Mary's lack of recognition of Jesus. She doesn't recognize him. She knew not that it was Jesus. Now, why? That's my question. Why? How could you not know? Now, the first thing that comes to my mind, because I know from the end of Luke's gospel, when Jesus appeared to two disciples on the Emmaus Road, the Bible says that he held their eyes. In other words, he appeared to them in another form. You know, the resurrected physical body of Jesus can show himself any way he wants to show himself. In other words, where you won't even recognize him. Jesus appeared to two disciples in a form they didn't recognize, and they talked with him all the way down to the end of the journey, and finally he opened their eyes and let them see who he really was. Now, maybe he did that with Mary here. Maybe that's why she didn't recognize him, because he was appearing to her in an unfamiliar form. You know what I can learn from that? You know, sometimes God works in your life in some unfamiliar ways. Well, Lord, that doesn't look like you. Lord, certainly you wouldn't do. You know what? The longer I live, you know what I learn about God? His ways are so much higher than my ways. And I don't think like he thinks. And I don't look at things like he looks at things. And I don't do things like his ways are so much higher than my ways. And there's a lot of things that God's working in my life that I'm unfamiliar with. And sometimes when God works in my life in unfamiliar forms, I can't see God very clearly. And I can't recognize his work in my life. God works in your life in ways you can't understand, that you can't see, you can't figure out with your brain. And maybe that's why she didn't know who he was. I think there may be a second thing here. Over and over and over again, it's talking about her weeping. Now, I don't know about you. I've not had too many times in my life, thank the Lord, that I just wept till I couldn't weep anymore. But have you ever wept till your eyes are puffy and they're swollen? Where you're weeping so much you can't even see straight? Maybe that was it. Maybe through her tears. Listen. Maybe through her tears she couldn't see Jesus and recognize him. Maybe she has cried so much and she's so overly. Now, you know, when you get overly emotional, you don't see some of the details. Y'all know that, right? When you get overly emotional, you miss a lot of things that you wouldn't have missed if you were just even keeled. And I'm telling you, Mary Magdalene is overly emotional here. She's weeping and crying. And maybe she didn't recognize the Lord for that. You know what? If you're not careful, if you and I aren't careful, some of the emotional burdens of life will veil our eyes of the Lord. You know, you can get so emotional that you can't think straight and you can't see God and you can't get the help from the Lord that you need. Because your life is so overwhelmed with this emotion. And yet the Bible says that though she's weeping, though she loves the Lord, God is wanting her to see Jesus Christ through her tears. In spite of her tears. Can we see Jesus in spite of our tears? Can we not let the emotion and the tears and the sadness overwhelm us? Can we see Him through the sadness? Maybe that's why she didn't recognize Him. I see another reason she didn't recognize Him. Would you look at verse number 15? Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Watch your Bible. She's supposing Him to be the gardener. Do you see that? Now, she didn't recognize Jesus maybe because she had some preconceived ideas. She had some suppositions. In other words, she turns around, and instead of considering who this is, she supposes, well, this has got to be the gardener. It's so early in the morning, nobody else would be here. I just suppose this is the gardener. She had supposed some other things. Would you look at verse 1 that weren't true? The Bible says, in verse 2, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him." She supposes that somebody has stole His body. Do you see that? Now, question for you. Did somebody take His body away and lay it somewhere else? No. But that's what she supposed. That's what she thought, but she thought wrong. Matter of fact, she says that not only there in verse 2, but she also says that again in verse 13 to the angels. She said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid Him." No, you're wrong, Mary. You think you have preconceived ideas. You have supposed this is what it is, and this is not what it is. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say there's a lot of things in our lives that we get our minds settled on and we think we know how it is. And because we think that way, we miss seeing Jesus because we've already got our mind made up about how all this is, how all this came to pass. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, usually in the Bible, you ought to do a study of this. You ought to do a study every time the word suppose is used. And just about to the letter, every time somebody supposed something, it was always wrong. You know, you may think, okay, this is the way this is, and this is the way this is going to happen, and this is why, and that's why. But you know, a lot of times when you come up with all these suppositions, you'll miss God. And the longer I live, you know what I don't understand? I don't know very much. And the way I think it is really isn't the way it is. And the way I think it's going to be is really not the way it's going to be. And Mary could not see Jesus because she supposed Him to be somebody else. She supposed Him to be the gardener. She supposed His body was already gone. She was supposing that He was still dead, and He wasn't. And her preconceived ideas were wrong. She couldn't recognize Him. Now, you say, "Preacher, what does that got to do with me?" And the fact that she doesn't recognize Him, what does that got to do with my life? You know how many times you don't recognize God in your life? Now watch it. Listen, I'll give you two verses on that. Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is that what He said in Hebrews 13? Say. If you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, He didn't go with you everywhere. Let me ask you a question. Everywhere you go, do you recognize Him there with you? You said, "No, preacher, but I was in church one time and I knew God was there and I knew the presence of the Lord." Yeah, and He was there last Thursday. When you thought God was a million miles away. And He was there in the darkest hour when you thought you were totally alone. And He was there when you were struggling whether to do right or wrong. He was still there. How many times do we not recognize? Jesus said, "I will never leave. I'm there." But we don't always recognize that He's there. You know what's true this morning? Some people right here this morning don't recognize the fact that Jesus is here this morning among us. The Bible, Jesus promised, "Two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Revelation tells us He's in the midst of His church. You know, the Lord is in our midst. How many people go to church and they don't even recognize that they've been with God? They don't even know that Jesus was in the building. You said, "Preacher, well, I can't see Him." Yeah, Mary couldn't see Him either.
Well, I don't recognize him. Mary didn't recognize him either. Well, I thought, you know, in the presence of the Lord, I'd have chill bumps and I'd see stars and you know, I'd hear voices. No, no, no. Jesus in our midst is in our midst trying to speak to you through the Bible and through his Spirit in the inner part of your heart. And he's here this morning trying to get your attention. But some people don't recognize him. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. And he's trying to get you to come to him so he can save you from your sin and get the devil out of you like he got the devil out of Mary Magdalene, but you don't recognize him. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saved. He's trying to deliver you from some other thing in your life, but you don't recognize the help. He's right there. He's right there. But you just can't see him. As they used to say, you can't see him for the nose on your own face. He's right. I mean, Mary, can you see the picture? She's crying. Oh, where is he? I want to find him. She turns around and right there he is, and she doesn't know it's him. Oh, have our lives been filled with that? And we turn around and we don't know that he's right there. Mary doesn't recognize him. I want to give you something else. Would you look as we go through the text, verse 16. Verse 16, I think, is the high water mark probably in my Bible reading of dramatic moments in the Bible. This is such a precious moment here. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her in verse 16, Mary. Jesus just says one word, and the Bible says she turned herself. It stopped her in her tracks of whatever she was doing. And when Jesus, she didn't recognize his voice before this, though he said the same things the angels had said. She didn't recognize his voice. She doesn't know that it's his word. But when he calls her name, it totally stops her and invades her heart, and she knows that it's Christ, though she doesn't understand the truths of the resurrection, when he calls her name and says, Mary, she stops. Now, this woman cried for 3 days, and she hears her name, Mary, and her heart just dissolves the sadness. She turns herself around, and she says, Rabboni, which the Bible says, which is to say master. And by the way, we use the King, we believe the King James Bible, we believe every word. It's not just teacher, it's master. That's a King James word, master. Master, the one that's in charge. The one that's in charge of me. The one that's in charge of my life. Master, it's you. And immediately you can see what happens without even reading through the text. Because the Bible says as soon as she says, Master, verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not. You know what? She's heading that way, boy. I mean, here comes a locomotive. Master! And he said, oh, don't touch me right now. I don't know if she was just going to hug him up or fall at his feet. But he says, no, you can't touch me. Now that's a strange thing. Why did he say, touch me not? Well, he says, he gives you the answer. Look at it. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. He said, you can't touch me yet because I've not ascended yet to the Father. Now that's strange because in this same chapter, he's going to go to Thomas and he's going to say, take your hand, thrust it into my side, touch me, handle me. He tells that to the disciples the same day. But to Mary, he says, touch me not because, not because I don't love you, not because it's inappropriate, but don't touch me because I've not yet ascended to my Father. What does that mean? And what can we find out from the Bible from that? The other place in the Bible talks about Jesus' ascension. Would you go to Ephesians real quick? Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody doing okay? Ephesians chapter 4. There's a reason he said, touch me not. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, In verse number 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he, there's that word, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, there's the word again, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He talks about that in Acts chapter 2, about his soul not being left in hell. And he was going to be raised. And David is not ascended, but Christ has ascended. But he went down into hell. He went down the lower parts of the earth. And the Bible says he led captivity captive. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, do you guys remember the story right when he was on the cross and the thief turned to him and he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that repentant thief that called out to Jesus, and Jesus turned to him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Remember that? He didn't say, today shalt thou be with me in heaven. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know why? Because Jesus wasn't going to go to heaven until 3 days later. But he told the thief, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Well, where's that if it's not in heaven? It's down in the lower parts of the earth. You remember that story in Luke chapter 16? There were two people that died. The rich man died. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Remember that? And a beggar died. And the Bible says he was carried to Abraham's bosom. Remember that? And they could see each other. Remember that story? And there's a great gulf fixed. Do you know before the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody could go to heaven after they died? You know why? Because Jesus Christ had to make the way for people to go to heaven. His blood had to be offered for people to go to heaven. So, if you died in faith, you went to Abraham's bosom. If you did not, you went to hell. And the Bible says when Jesus died, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. He led captivity captive. Now, watch this now. And he ascended up to heaven with that host, took all those people out of Abraham's bosom, and took them all the way up to heaven with him. Now watch this. But on the way up, he said, hold on just a minute. Now I don't know how many millions of people were with him. He said, guys, before we go on up to heaven, I got to make a pit stop. What? You're taking all these souls with you captive up to the third heaven? Yeah, I got something I got to do on my way up first. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. I want to show you the great heart of your Lord. Nobody but Jesus Christ would have done something like this. What was he going to do when he ascended up to heaven? Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible tells us. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Look at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know what he's doing when he ascends up to heaven? He's doing two things. He's taking captivity captive, he's leading them to heaven, and he's also entering into heaven by his own blood to show that blood to the Father to obtain eternal redemption for mankind. And I'm telling you, as Jesus is headed to the third heaven for man's eternal redemption with his blood, while Jesus is headed to heaven with a whole captivity of Abraham's bosom to take him to heaven, he stops everything for one woman because he saw her crying and he saw her love. And that Bible says about Jesus, we have an high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he looked at somebody that loved him more than life itself. He looked at somebody as he was on his way to the Father that loved him more than anybody else. And he said, we are going to stop eternal redemption. We are going to stop the captivity captive. And I've just got just for a few moments to let this woman that loves me more than anything in the world, I need to let her know it's okay. What a God. He says, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. But Mary, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to come back down.
And I'll give you the last verse and we'll be finished. Because he tells her to do something. Would you look at the last verse in John chapter 20? He says in verse number 18, or excuse me, verse number 17. In the verse 17 he says, "But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." He says, "Mary, I got a commission for you. I got something I want you to do. I want you to go to my brethren and tell them where I'm going and tell them." Verse 18, look at it. "Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her." And I just think that that's amazing, because I tell you what, when you see someone that's changed your life, when you see someone that you've cried over for 3 days and you get to see him and he gives you about 5 minutes and he says, "Mary, don't touch me, but I do have something for you to do. I want you to go and tell my brethren that I've risen from the dead." You know what Mary could have said? "No, I want to stay here with you. No, don't leave." She doesn't hesitate. She's, you know why? Because the word, listen, the words of Jesus Christ and the will of Jesus Christ was more important to her than what she wanted. I'm sure she didn't want to leave his presence. She wanted to stay right there. But she says, "I'll put what I want aside and I'll do what you say. Told me to do." The Bible says she went to them, "I seen the Lord," and she told them his words. You know what we need to do? We need to tell this whole world his words. We need to tell this whole world that he's the living Christ. You say, "Well, I just don't feel like it." I bet she didn't want to leave that event. That was the greatest moment probably in her whole life. And Jesus said, "Go." She said, "Yes, sir. I'll go tell." Let me ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? You love the Lord, or you love your own comfort? You love him more than anything? He loves you more than anything. Will you do what he says? Do you recognize when he's trying to help you, when he's trying to speak to you?